Blog Talk Radio.
Mes amis, comment ça va bien? I hope we're all ça va bien, darlings. I hope everyone's having a fairly good Monday for us in the Northeast, and indeed through much of the country. The weather has been so chancy, hasn't it? I mean, my goodness, in the winter, we still think it's like November. This past weekend on Fire Island, we were all commiserating. We assumed that we had all struck our heads during a home improvement project and had been comatose for 4 months or 6 months and had simply slept in an ICU through the entire summer of 2018. I can't get over it. It was like 40 degrees, icy cold rain, howling winds. My poor gardeners trying to figure out what to do, if it was possible for them to not, if it was possible, I think my plants would all retract back into the ground. And simply go back to sleep until next year. It's been a weird, strange spring, but we're hoping for the best. I am broadcasting to you live, can you imagine, live from the revolving ballroom high atop the Chrysler Building in the Cafe Berlin. And my wonderful producer, Gwendolyn, is here. She's in the outer studio. She's watching me through the glass here, signaling to me. And I'm so grateful to Gwendolyn, Gwendolyn Holdenberry, who is not only my producer, but she's the executive. What would she be? She would be the executive viatrix of the wonderful Here Being Monsters Network, of which my program is a member. The Here Be Monsters Network is, of course, on Blog Talk Radio. And they are the server or whatever. And Here Be Monsters is a program company, and it has different programs on it. And I'm so lucky to be a newcomer to their wonderful studio, as I was at Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer studio before the unfortunate incidences at the HUAC hearings when Mummy was blacklisted, along with nice John Garfield and Gail Sondergaard. Anyway, back to what I was going to talk to you about. We took last week off because we had some technical difficulties. But we were glad to re-air our first program and our premiere program, and it got hundreds of people tuning in. And by the way, all you need to do if you miss one of these programs is to go to the link that is there, and you'll be taken to the Blog Talk Radio page, and you'll be taken to the Here Be Monsters page, and there will be all our shows archived, and you can listen to them at your leisure or leisure. By the way, Jerry Withege corrected me. He kept saying, Mommy, I don't wish to pick at you, but it is an Eastern Standard Time. You're on 8 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time, EDT, and that is true. We're on at 8 o'clock live here, 7 Central, 6 Rocky Mountain Time, 5 o'clock in California, and then, of course, no one has a clock in Hawaii anymore because of the volcanic eruptions, so they simply listen through their coffee cans and string and hope that they get something. We are also, by the way, I want to remind you all that we are live now, and because of the internet, we are being heard all around the world. We have live listeners from Australia, from Europe, from Pakistan. Oh, brave new world that has such wonders in it. It's amazing. Mummy gets notes all the time and private messages from people all around the world who've listened to the show either live or in reruns, and it's very exciting. I want to tell you right now that if you'd like to call in, and we have a wonderful subject tonight, our phone number is 323-784-9639. That's 323-784-9639. Operators are standing by to take your calls and send them to me, or you can order your aluminum siding through that number as well. We have a call already. How exciting. Gwendolyn, do we have a call?
We do. It's an internet call, so I have no area code, but I'm going to open the mic for you, Mommy.
Okay, that's great.
Caller, we have you on.
Hello.
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 Yes, who's this?
Oh, it's Melissa DeGreat.
Melissa DeGreat, how are you, darling? It's wonderful
Sybil.
To hear your voice.
Oh, my God. Oh. Well, you know, I'm not really literate in the computer world, so getting through was just amazing.
Neither am I, darling. I have no knowledge of the computer at all. A nice man comes up to me with a small square screen that's glowing, and I sort of point at things and ask him to do things, and then he brings me cake and champagne, and then other people point, and I basically follow directions. Because
can you hook me up with him? I don't even know how to use a cell phone.
Yeah, exactly. You see, I just do my best. I try to make sure that I'm wearing the right accessories and the right jewelry.
Well, you have the perfect apron on today. Just the perfect apron.
Yeah, Melissa, now listen, our subject tonight is, because it's kind of got a wonderful backstory to it, but I propose this week and every week to do a subject that everyone might be able to address. And the subject this week is if a fairy godmother came to you, or a genie, or some strange mythical creature or person came to you and offered you a magic elixir and promised that it wasn't poison and said that this would give you something magical and life-enriching and transformative, and you would drink it and you would suddenly have something in your life change. Now, I want to preface this ahead of time. It would not. You can't ask that the universe and everything in it and you would be perfect. You can't make it a blanket thing like that. But
okay.
Would give you some special thing that would change your life, and it could be anything along those lines. Almost like almost like it could make you into an X-Man. A limited, focused talent or quality or thing that would change. What would you want more than anything to have that would be in a small elixir? Like what Isabella Rossellini handed Meryl Streep.
I would love to have something to make my knees and hips work as I was, like they did when I was 30 years ago. You know, I really would like to have listened to people say, you shouldn't do that, you know, if you want to live a long life. You should do this. And I really should have listened to them. They were wise.
So it's almost like so we're going to expand it for you because I love you. So we're going to make it better than your hips and your knees. So you would ask for youth. You would ask for more youth.
A youthful body, but... A contentment with age.
Oh, that's nice. So I knew Gwen Verdon, the great Gwen Verdon.
Bob Fosse. I knew when they were married.
Interesting. I knew Gwen Verdon in passing because, you know, of show business, and she was in the show business, and we traveled in the same circles and everything. And I remember seeing her, and she had to have been 75 years old. And she was in a cafe down in the village, and she walked in, and from the neck down, she had a body like Jessica Rabbit. And from the neck up, it was still Gwen Verdon and twinkly, the way she was in the movie Cocoon. But she walked, literally, like a 19-year-old girl. She had a dance bag over her shoulder, and she walked in, and she joined some friends at a booth, and they had cheeseburger deluxes or whatever. And she was lovely, and she was laughing, and she was exactly the way she was in the movie Cocoon.
Isn't that something?
And what was intriguing was that all those years of dance and athleticism and everything were a balancing act for her. I've heard many athletes and many dancers say this, that it extends your life. It extends your flexibility, even as you're trading away some things. So that athleticism also injures you and can wear things, but it balances out because it extends you also into having some longevity. You know what I mean? It's weird.
Right.
So
you
would want that. You'd want that same thing, sort of, I guess.
Right, exactly. I was watching, I forget his name, Rob Reiner's dad. I can't remember. He's 94.
Carl
he does
Reiner.
Yoga now. Yeah.
Carl
Reiner. And he was doing yoga. And I just thought how amazing it was because he's 94.
Yes.
You know, I wish I had done something like that, like he did. Because I guess it's not too late to try.
No. It's not too late to try. No, that's the other thing that people our age have to remember, is that it's not too late, that everything is about expanding and expansion of not only our psyches and our spirits, but also our ability to function and our bodies. It's all a metaphor. I think, you know something, I think what you and I should do, because we private message each other, I think that we should also we should challenge each other, because Mummy wants to lose some pounds. I've gotten way out of shape. I was always shaped like a triangle, but I had a 50-inch chest and a 29-inch waist, and
so
now
I
have a 50-inch waist and I have a 29-inch chest. I mean, it's just really tragic. I'm shaped like a pyramid, and with all the dust that goes with it. So I'm going to work on that, and we will inspire each other to go farther. Well, let's get younger.
Oh, that'd be perfect.
Get older.
I would like to have a support system in place. That would be great. I'd love that.
Darling, we will be long distance gym buddies. I'm going to go to yoga. There's a yoga studio right around the corner. Tomorrow I'm going to go get their brochure, and
okay.
I'm going to read it thoroughly over my croissant and my cappuccino, and I'm going to really think about it very, very
soon. So when I have my Diet Coke with the pizza, it's a wash for me, too.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. I'm going to have a root beer float using Diet Coke instead of root beer.
Oh, use Diet Barks. Much better. Diet Barks, much better. Thank you for taking the time to talk to me. I didn't realize how easy it was to podcast. I was always a little afraid, so please forgive me.
Never be afraid. Never be afraid. A nice man will always be standing by to help us. All we have to do is smile and bat our eyes and give them a little leg. And it's amazing how easy it is to fool technical people into hoping you're done.
All right, I'm going to buy a cell phone now, and I'll come on over.
All right. I love you.
I love you too, Sybil, and thank you for enriching my life.
Thank you. I will talk to you very soon, darling.
All right, doll. Bye.
All right, we'll compare notes on yoga. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was Melissa. I'm so thrilled she called. I want to remind you, our phone numbers are 323-784-9639. An elixir to keep you younger or get you younger, but to allow you to still be at peace about getting older, and, of course, to retain all that wisdom. Who wouldn't want that? Let's see. Gwendolyn, do we have another call coming in? Oh, we have two new callers. I'll take either one.
Oh, the first in line gets it. So area code 513, I'm opening your mic. 513 caller.
Hello.
Sybil, is this Mummy?
It is Mummy.
This is Joanne Kepfer.
Joanne.
First time caller, long time stalker on Facebook.
How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm great. Now, what, Joanne, what did you hear my question for tonight, the magic elixir question?
I did. And mine is, I posted it on Facebook, but it is to be a secondhand but first-rate character actress from the 30s.
Oh, I did see that. You wrote that one to me. I loved that one.
Yes.
And then immediately we got pictures of Marie Dressler and, oh, my God, all the great – oh, my gosh. Listen, Joanne, I am so much in agreement with you because I write those Who's Dats, the Sybil Brunson's
and
Who's
Dats. And I love
Dats
those.
Everyone. Yes, they're little mini bios on all those brilliant, wonderful, magical, luminescent character actors that everyone forgets their names but recognizes immediately. So, Anne, I am so much on board with you on the appreciation of people like Marie Dressler and Edna Mae Oliver and, oh, my, Mary Poole.
Yeah.
And the character leads, too, by the way, character leads. Norma Shearer, you know, she was a leading lady, but she was, to me, she was a character lead. She wasn't a traditional leading lady. She was offbeat and wonderful, you know. It's like
And Rosalind Russell, she could do
both. Rosalind Russell, yes. They were doing a Rosalind Russell Festival tonight on Turner Classic Movies with His Girl Friday. And
Fast
and Loose was a wonderful movie that she did with Elizabeth Montgomery's father, Robert Montgomery.
Yes.
She's a wonderful actress, and was more wonderful as she gave up the leads and became more character-y, don't you think?
Yes. Oh, my gosh. That is so true. And I think that's when I don't know if it's that they're out of the studio's hold or they felt they've proven themselves and they can really let go and let their talent out.
Well, I think that if we had Stephen Hayes on tonight, or we had all sorts of different people, Mel Odom on tonight, they would be advised. John Fricke, of course, giant John Fricke. They would be advising us on the actual backstories of the studio and the politics. These people were pretty much booked by the studios. They were owned by the studios, but they, because they weren't necessarily leads who were being judged on their weight and their faces and their figures and their youth and all of that, they were allowed to be as eccentric as they were, and they were always being put into all sorts of projects around. And that was very exciting. But the thing that I've always said to my Facebook friends and family is that I would give anything, if heaven exists, to me,
yes,
heaven would be, it would be the Royal Hawaiian Hotel, the veranda of the Royal Hawaiian with fabulous food, and it would be occupied by Frank Morgan, Edna May Oliver, Herbert Marshall, Charles Dinkle. My God, the list goes on, and Patricia Collins.
The best.
Yeah,
oh,
the list
yes.
goes on and on and on and on. I would have all the amazing character actors that were around at that time. Just amazing people, so much talent, so much heart, and so much beauty in their eccentricity. Were they physically beautiful? They were beyond physically beautiful. I could look at them forever. Edna May Oliver, I could look at that face and listen to that voice forever. Marie Dressler.
Isn't it
forever.
The best? Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
Marie Dressler. And just the way they could do comedy, they could do drama, they could do anything.
Oh,
and they
yes.
could, and at the end of the day, go home and... And like you said, with the studios, they weren't as, you know, had their thumbs on them as much as they did
right.
the stars. So
yeah.
they had, that's why I think that would have been a better life to have. I think they had, it seemed like you said, you see them in all these movies, and sometimes you know their names, sometimes you don't, but you know their work.
Yes.
You know.
And they're like an old friend.
They are.
As soon as they come on the screen, you feel like, you just feel like, oh, come into my home. I'm so glad to have you come into my home, Edna May Oliver. I'm so
yes.
glad to see you. You know what I mean? Yes, it's lovely.
Yes.
Lovely.
Yes.
Well, I thank you so much for calling in with that. I love that that would be your elixir. You would go back in time and be a great character actor with all the great character actors in the 30s. A perfect
Well, I love talking to you, and I'm going to enjoy listening to the rest of the show.
Oh, thanks, Joanne, so much. Thank you so much. You are just a doll for calling in tonight. Thank you.
Oh, thanks. Love you, sweetie pie. Take care.
Love you, too. Good night. Gwendolyn, who's my other caller?
I don't know. We'll put them on in about two seconds. I have to interject here. Robin
yes.
Russell is one of my faves all time, especially his Girl Friday. But my personal own biopic was an Ida Lupino Rosalind Russell project called The Trouble with Angels. Do you remember that one?
Of course.
That's really
of
my
course I remember that one.
We
that,
have
that one came along later. That came along later in her career when she was, you
yeah.
know, when she was, yeah. It was a shame. Her health had begun to go by that time. Rosalind Russell suffered from tremendously crippling rheumatoid arthritis and was holding it all together as best she could. But she was, you know, she was dazzling as a young girl, and she was dazzling as an older lady in everything she did. I never saw anything that Rosalind Russell was never weak in anything. She was never a C-minus in anything. She
never.
Was excellent
never.
In tragedy, drama, scary movies, just amazing, funny, comic, everything. Always smart, always sophisticated, always just precious. Anyway, what are you going to say? We got a call?
We do, and this one is area code 620. I am opening your mic, caller. Go ahead and talk.
Hello.
Hi, Sybil. It's Kim Young.
Hi, Kim. How are you?
I'm really great, and I... this question, and it didn't take me but 1 second to come up with the perfect elixir, what my special power would be.
Yes.
I want to be able to communicate with plants and organisms and hear them, like really hear them. That would be a dream come true for me.
I love that. I love that because you and I are infamous gardeners. Everybody on Facebook in our circles knows us both as rabid gardeners. You, of course, are the most – I thought that I was a good gardener. You are literally – clearly you are the savior returned to the earth in the form of a woman gardener. I have never seen – I want to – when I finally sit down and have lunch with you, I'm going to check your hands and feet for stigmata. You clearly are – there's something going on with you. You are the spookiest, most holy gardener I have ever known in my entire life. What you raised in your former house, your house before you moved, was shocking. People used to think that your photographs were fake. It was like, how was she raising all of those things on an acre of land? It was like, how you did that? It was just outrageous. And there was nothing that was ever sick. Even the pests seemed to, you know, like, you were the Disney Cinderella of garden pests. You would go out, and the garden pests would even help make your gown for the ball. I don't know how you did it. The fungus on your plants would arrange itself into beautiful arrangements. It was the weirdest thing, Kim. And every week you're posting more and more beautiful things. But to communicate with plants, I was sitting in my garden this weekend, and I was thinking about you specifically at different times. We had, like I said, howling wind, rain, you know, 50-degree temperatures, 40-degree temperatures. It was ice cold. My poor plants were saying, can we get 4 hours of sun at some point? And I was thinking about you. And it's just like, I would love to be able to talk to them. I mean, I do talk to them. I wish that they could talk back to me and let me know what they're thinking
exactly.
And feeling.
Yes.
Wouldn't
that be great? Yes, yes. Well, I'm going to Guatemala on Saturday to see a dear friend for an entire week.
But wait a minute. You're going to Guatemala?
I am. And yes, very near Fuego. I know. I know. I know. But the reason I bring it up is because my dear friend, Challen, who I'm going to see, calls me his magical forest fairy.
Oh.
And I love that. It's like my favorite nickname ever, my magical forest fairy.
Well, and so going to Guatemala, you're going to see the most beautiful plant life. I mean, my goodness, talk about rainforest and, you know, orchids.
He's an ecologist, and he works on a reserve called El Tular that has hundreds of different epiphytes and different orchids and the cloud forest. And I cannot wait. I'll post pictures for sure on Facebook and my Twitter.
Oh, that's
page.
Wonderful.
More
that's
on Twitter.
Wonderful. And on Twitter.
I met him through Twitter. I've never met him before. We speak on the phone all the time. We talk to each other. We write each other. My son met him, and my son and his friend stayed with he and his husband for a couple of days on their 2-week trip down there for the college break. But, so through Twitter, I have this amazing friendship. Last night I called him through tears when I heard about, you know, Fuego, and was just, you know, because it was very close to him. And at that point it was not nearly as deadly as it became later today when I heard more about it. But anyway, but yes, I'm going to Guatemala, and I want to truly become a magical forest fairy. That is my wish for my elixir.
Well, I want you to be very careful, okay? Do be careful.
I will.
Okay. And I love that you would like to be able to communicate with plants even more than you already do. I have the feeling that your plants are very, very – see, I feel that anything that is alive does have a consciousness. So that's
– I think so, too.
I think that things that are alive want to be alive. I think that they work hard at being alive. I think that they struggle to be alive. And I think that anything that is alive, that is trying to succeed and trying to put forth the effort, deserves our respect and our admiration and our love. And so I can be as emotional about plants that are struggling in my garden as I can be about any other living thing that is struggling to be cared for, loved, and you know, it's just – I don't take any life for granted. So, you know, I feel guilty about eating salads though I still am a bacon aficionado, and that's sinful. I have my own sins involved in my dietary things, and that's a subject for another night. But I take everything very seriously. I'm looking at photographs of my orchids from my bay window right now, and my cycads and everything, and they are like my children right now. So, as a matter of fact, I rather like them more than my three daughters, but that's a subject for another show as well.
And the stories the cycads could tell. That's a whole book.
Cycads going back, their ancestors going back to when dinosaurs ruled the earth.
I know.
I mean, human beings have only been here about 1 million years. Dinosaurs ruled the earth for 165 million years, and cycads predate them. So it's like, oh, my God.
Yes, and plants predate flowers, which I don't quite understand how that works, but
yes, flowers are. That's a wonderful thing. The freak accident or whatever of flowers suddenly occurring on the planet when plants decided, oh, you know, wouldn't it be interesting to have a vagina and a penis? And we're going to make it. That's what a stamen will be in a pistil. We're going to start reproducing by having a uterus. With seeds and ovaries. It's like that's what flowers are. People are stunned when you finally explain to them that flowers are overt sexuality on the part of plants. That was them, advertising
like,
and becoming va-va-va-voom girls, you know.
Exactly. And they're perfect. They're
perfect
in what they do. They're in their design and their color, in their odor, whether it be lovely or stinky, whether they have a certain signal or whatever. That's all their job is to procreate.
And I love that flowers
do
also,
well.
And this is really scary, especially to Presbyterians, flowers have also enlisted animals and even insects into their sexual play. So I think that's really fascinating, is that it wasn't enough to have
people.
Sex organs, but then they started having other species help them have sex. And I think that's so naughty on the part of our gardening friends, our little friends, when I look at my orchids and realize that they're really just like a bunch of whores and prostitutes. It's quite amusing to me. I admit that my plants often amuse me wildly like that. I've actually been thinking of doing 8mm films of sex films with plants, and having bees and butterflies help, and it would be like this a horticulturist nightmare, spelled of course WHORT, etc. Anyway, Kim, have a wonderful trip, will you, to Guatemala?
Yes.
Please have a safe one too.
Yes.
All right.
Yes. Thank you so much. I love you.
Yeah, I love you too, and I can't wait to see your bulletins from Guatemala.
All right. Good night. I'll keep listening. Bye.
Good. Love you. See you later. I have a couple of announcements here. The phone number again is 323-784-9639. Elaine, you says you I just got a message going crazy, can't log on to the show. I don't understand why. If you click on link, the show should come on instantly. Go to Hear Me Monsters. The link is there and it should come up perfectly if your laptop is working properly. Do we have another phone call? Gwendolyn?
No, we're blank on the board at this time.
Well, I'm going to make a couple of announcements then. I'm going to do some quick ones. If that's okay with you. Is that all right with you?
Perfect timing, Mommy.
Good. I'm going to just remind you all that we're on Blog Talk Radio. This is the Hear Me Monsters Network. Gwendolyn Holdenberry is my wonderful producer, and she's here with me every Monday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, EDT. And remember that you can always listen to our show in reruns by going to the same link, clicking there, and you will find all our shows archived by date right there. I want to remind you a couple of things. Mummy is writing for the Fire Island News this summer. I've been taken on as a columnist there, and I'm thrilled to be doing that. Shoshana McCollum, hello, darling, and hello to Little Bamboo. Shoshana McCollum is my editor there, and so I'm thrilled to be writing for them. You can find their papers all up and down Long Island and on Fire Island. And I want to remind you that I'm also appearing, or Professor Budinsky, my nephew, Friday shows at 4 p.m., 4-ish, at Cherries on the Bay, at Cherry Grove, Fire Island. And it's Smarty Pants Trivia Challenge. It's not the written form of trivia, which I find so dry and boring. No, it's a spoken trivia. It's yelling out answers and waving your hands, and it's great fun. Comedy trivia. And by the way, some of you have asked what the subjects are. Artsy Fartsy covers films and plays and literature and art. Give Me Headlines is questions on current events this week or this week in history. Let's Visit Uranus, questions on astronomy and astrology. Just Cruising, questions on geography and travel. Eat Me, questions on food and fine dining. Athletic Supporter, questions on sports and physical activity. So you get the He Says, She Says, fictional or factual quotes on fictional or factual people. Oh, there's so many categories. They're all fun, and the crowd is lovely there. I want to say hi to Jackie Piazza and all the people there at Wonderful Cherries on the Bay. Will, your food is beyond brilliant. Thank you for being a brilliant chef out there. And so do come by Cherries on the Bay Friday at 4, right before happy hour, and join us for Smarty Pants Trivia Challenge. One other announcement. Oh, this month's winner of the Share the Love Contest. We're going to call it the Share the Love Contest. For those of you on Facebook with me, on any one of my five pages, I have five different pages on Facebook now. If you share one of my announcements or captions or posts or announcements or recipes, every time you share one of those, your name is written on a ticket, and that ticket goes into a hopper. It goes into a raffle drum. End of the month, we draw out a ticket. The more times you share, the more tickets go in. The more tickets of your name go in, the better your chances. If you're the winner, you will get a Sybil prize. And there are different prizes. They're all being sold on Zazzle, Zazzle.com. If you go there to the Sybil Brunchen page, you'll see them. And there's coffee cups and T-shirts and all sorts of wonderful, funny things. And each month we're going to choose the winner. And this month's winner was Mary Jane Nilsson. Hello, Mary Jane. Up the Bronx, Gunhill Road. So Mary Jane was our winner, and she's getting her prize in the mail in just the next day or so, I'm sure. What else? There's a couple of other announcements. Oh, you know, I don't have a phone call in right now. I'm getting other messages about elixirs. Please call in with your elixir thing. You can talk to Mummy. What a week it's been. Roseanne Barr. That could be a whole subject in itself, couldn't it? You know, the First Amendment is a tricky thing. I often think that Michael Douglas in The American President, the film The American President, he explained at one point how the First Amendment works, flag burning, obscene language, you know, vile language, et cetera, et cetera. And at one point he defends Annette Bening as having been a college protester turned lobbyist later in life. And he says, well, she burned American flags and she protested against the Vietnam War. But the whole thing about the First Amendment is this. Short of going into a movie theater and yelling fire and causing a stampede in which people are killed, the First Amendment is, you know, as I think he calls it, like, you know, citizenship, advanced citizenship. It's like to defend the First Amendment means you have to defend the rights of a Nazi saying horrible things. You have to be willing to defend all sorts of vile things being said about you as well. And I think that my progressive / left wing credentials are pretty much intact and impeccable. But I'm an Aquarius, you know? I was born in the year of the dragon. I'm also someone who understands that if I want freedom of speech, I must be willing to grant other people the right to freedom of speech. 70% of this population in this country, now that we know that people support Donald Trump and all those things, there are vast portions of this country that would just as gladly have me taken to a gas chamber. You know, there are people in this country who would be just as glad to have me burned at the stake. So I have to be willing to say that if I want respect and freedom of speech and freedom of religion and freedom of all the freedoms that I'm guaranteed, I must extend them to a certain extent, to other people who I may disagree with very strongly, very, very strongly. If you don't know who I am, go to my Facebook page and see my hourly posts. I think you'll find that I'm pretty much clear on where I stand over the last year and a half of this government. So I don't think that anyone need be afraid that Mummy is turning into a neo-fascist or anything. But I am clear that Roseanne Barr said terrible things. Terrible things. I think that the best way to punish someone who says terrible things is to rub their nose often in what they consider to be the almighty dollar. I think that boycotting is one of the most effective ways of punishing this neo-fascist thing that we're living through right now in Washington and in politics and in the and various parts of the entertainment world. If they believe in the almighty dollar, if they're so enthralled to capitalism with a capital C, then play the game. Take your power in your votes, your voice, and your dollar, and make your power known. And that's what happened. People said that they were not going to hire her. She was no longer viable as a moneymaker for the network. That's what they decided. And if they hadn't decided it, we could decide it for them by writing in the way we did to Barilla Pasta and Coors Beer and whoever else and say, we will not be using you as a pasta source, as a beer source. We will not go to Chick-fil-A. It's very telling when you say boycott how that side suddenly says, they start boo-hooing and say, well, that's not fair. You can't boycott us. We have a right to your opinion, our opinion, and you do have a right to your opinion. And we have the right not to shop at your pasta store, your Coors Light. I have the right to call up every one of the sponsors of the Roseanne Show and say, I will not buy your product, not only for as long as she's on the air, I will punish you further by not buying your product for an entire year after you take her off. So get her off the air quickly so that then the year can count down quickly and I will buy your sad product because you were sponsoring a three-toothed hillbilly jackass with bad plastic surgery who calls herself Roseanne. Okay? That's where I go. So I feel that that's how I would deal with that. I don't know that I want to bar her First Amendment because then they'll turn around, Donald Trump and his gang will turn around and say, well, you're barring First Amendment rights, blah, blah. No, no, say what you like. Say what you like and own the consequences. That's part of being an adult in a capitalist society. That's being a grown-up in the your almighty marketplace. You believe in the marketplace? You believe in free enterprise? Then sit down at the poker game of life and be willing to play it. But for us to nibble and adjust the rules, I think it's a slippery slope. Speaking of a slippery slope, I think that the whole wedding cake is a slippery slope. But I also am willing to hold him to his thing. I know that there's all sorts of gay people right now saying, oh, well, the Supreme Court didn't really. And other people are saying, oh, the Supreme Court did really. That's not, everyone's qualifying what the decision was. This is the decision as far as I'm concerned. Make wedding cakes for everybody or make them for nobody. Because people who say, well, I don't want to make a wedding cake for a gay person. Well, maybe you decide not to make a wedding cake for a black person or a paraplegic or a Hindu, a non-Christian. It's a slippery slope. If you don't want to make a wedding cake for somebody because of their sexual proclivities or their religion or their skin color or whatever, then fine. Don't make them. Don't make them for anybody, though. That's how it's going to work. Okay? That's non-discriminatory law. And that's the way it's got to be. So I think that we're going to have to, as liberals, we're going to have to be a little bit more circumspect and careful about where we go and how quick we jerk our knees on this stuff. So that's where I stand. I know that a lot of you are going to disagree. I'm going to get all sorts of hate mail. And you know what? The good news about being 112 years old and having survived cancer three times is I don't give an F about whether or not you like what I say or don't. There you go. Okay, puff puff. All right, going on now. Samantha B., using the C word. First of all, apparently, other countries use the C word all the time as, like, part of their slang, which I find, as an American girl, I find it a little distressing. I mean, I guess if Australians and New Zealanders and, I don't know, people in Liverpool use the C word, you know, as a regular part of their vocabulary, I guess that we have to accept that. You know, was she wrong? I don't know. You know, everyone's nibbling at everything now. So Samantha B. called Ivanka a C word. I wish I could defend some. I wish I could defend Ivanka. I really can't. Melania. Oh, I just got a note. Where is Melania? I don't know. I don't know. I think Donald probably had her sleep with a pod, and she's come back as the pod person, Melania. And certainly, little Baron slept with a pod years ago. So, I mean, he certainly is, you know, I don't think he's an earthling anymore. What else do we have here? We've got subjects pouring in. People are sending in notes. Oh, my goodness, people are sending in private messages to Mummy. Oh, you're very cross, aren't you? Oh, some of you are very cross. Some of you are saying sweet things. And some of you are even posting dirty pictures. That's interesting. All right, what have we got here? Anne is waving at you. Anne, how are you, darling? Good to see you. Terrible echo feedback on the show right now. That doesn't make any sense. Maybe you've got your computer on and your phone. I'm not sure. We're not getting any more complaints about that. Gwendolyn, I'm ready for another call.
The switchboard is all fouled up, Mummy, and the calls aren't coming through. We'll try to
fix that. See what you can fix. No problems. You know, no worries at all. I'm wondering what this echo is. That's strange. Well, we won't worry about it right now. Robert Barber just sent me a film of a baby owl. Robert, darling, Mummy's doing a show. Mummy's doing a show. Thank you for the nice film of the baby owl right now with her nice audience. Thank you. I think it's so funny when people send me things that are Ryan Cormier is sending me. It's so funny. People are sending me all sorts of kooky things. Elaine, I'm sorry if you can't log on to the show. Maybe we're having technical difficulties. But do listen to it in a rerun, okay? It'll be rerun and broadcast properly. Can you give us a sample of trivia questions that might be heard at a Smarty Pants trivia event, Jan Glazer? Yes, I can. Are you all ready? Here is a trivia question for you. Above and beyond the state capitals. And, well, here's one. What two states share a capital name? The name for the capitals is inspired by the same person. Two states have state capitals named after the same person. What are the state capitals and what are the states? Very interesting. That would be under Just Cruising, questions on travel and geography. So, two states, the state capitals named after the same person. Who was that person? What are the state capitals and what are the states? Another one. This is a difficult one. One of the topics is called I'm Hard, and those are the difficult questions. Yes, the names are all double entendres, of course. I'm Hard. See if you can figure this one out. A few years ago, a man was discovered on a flight from Moscow to Paris. Listen carefully. A man was discovered on a flight from Moscow to Paris. The shocking thing was that he was dead. The even more shocking thing was that when he was found, it was discovered that he may have flown from Paris to Moscow five times, back and forth, back and forth. How was this possible, and what were the circumstances? A little mini Agatha Christie murder mystery there. A man was discovered on a flight from Moscow to Paris and back again, may have made the flight several times, and was dead, and the authorities had to solve the situation. How did it happen? Has anyone come up with the answer? Nope, not yet. Gwendolyn, you jump in anytime we have a caller, okay, if you get the switchboard going.
I will, Mommy.
I want to tell everyone that our sponsors tonight, as they always are the daughtersofisis.com. Daughtersofisis.com is a wonderful company that provides amazing toiletries and fragrances, and their slogan is the fragrant memories of our ancestors. They have all sorts of extraordinary fragrances and the products that go with them, lavender and cedars and, oh my gosh, all sorts of things. Their products all the time. I smell divine and my skin is gorgeous. Thank you for asking. Daughtersofisis.com. Check them out. The fragrant memories of our ancestors. And I want to, let me see what the time is. Oh, we've got a few more minutes. I want to remind you also, please do check out the Fire Island News. I'm writing for them. They come out biweekly, every 2 weeks. And I'm writing all sorts of interesting articles for them, including poetry and funny biographies and hysterical histories, mummies' hysterical histories. Our question tonight was magical elixir. And I have, oh, I just got some private messages in. I'm going to go to those right now. A couple of people said that they would like to. Here's one. Let me just see. It's right here. Oh, there is some sort of technical difficulties. Yes, it is. Here's some people saying that they would like. I love this. Mary Jane Nilsson, our winner of the Share the Love contest, said, I would like the ability to transport people to another reality. They'd retain knowledge of their former life, but be powerless to anything about it. I put Melania, Ivanka, her sisters-in-law, and any GOP congressional wife with young children at the Mexican border and have their children taken from their arms. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, interesting. Give people some empathy. Yeah, give them perspective. That would be very interesting. Thank you, Mary Jane. I love that one. Here's another one. Some people suggest they would like to drink it and continue to drink it endlessly. And that sounds like a drinking problem. That's not what the magic elixir was supposed to be. What else did we got? Oh, Nikki Blake Shavitz wrote an essay for me. Darling, it's 500 words or less. Yeah, I'll have to check in on that later. That's that essay is lovely, but it seems to go on and on. John Michael Caroli said he would like to make himself as great an actor as Frederick March was. I love Frederick March. Anne says, I would guzzle it and not stop to taste it, and I definitely would want it to make me more forgiving of myself. Now, there's a great answer. More forgiving of myself, the nature of regret, shoulda, woulda, coulda. I have to tell you, Anne, that's a good answer. I might glom onto that one, too. I would like to drink an elixir. Well, I would like to have an elixir. I'd like to have 500 elixirs, and I'm going to call the Daughter of Isis people and see if they can make me a whole bunch. But one of them would be, that I would like not to have been hesitant about taking chances at a young age. I would like not to live in the shoulda, woulda, coulda regret realm. I think there's nothing more toxic to a young person than regretting what they didn't do. We all regret things we did do, but we can make those better. We can make amends. If you dent your father's fender, or you lose your brother's bicycle, or you broke your mother's heirloom brooch, or whatever, you can make amends. You can say you're sorry. You can do things that make it clear that you're sorry. You can save up your money and spend it trying to fix the problem and show that you're sorry. But those are all things about regretting things you did and fixing them somehow. You can never undo the regret for something you didn't do. If you didn't audition for that play, if you didn't try out for the cheerleader captain, if you didn't run for student council, you can't fix things that you never attempted. So regretting things that you didn't do is one of the most corrosive things I think you can grow up with. I tell young people all the time, say yes. Don't say yes, but. You know what I mean? Say yes. Throw your arms open to adventure and say yes. Yes, I'll try that. Yes, I can. Yes, I will. Do not become a regret drunk, because it's very tempting. You get addicted to the yes buts. Drink from that cup, and it's a bitter cup, and you become a regret alcoholic. And then you're 60 one day, and you have a whole lifetime of things that you didn't get around to doing. And the three words on your gravestone should be shoulda, woulda, coulda. And that's not a way to live. It's much better to scrape your knees. It's much better to fall down on your face, get up, brush yourself off. We are designed to be injured and scarred. That's what nature wants. Nature wants us, like all other species, to go out into the world, to try it, to fail, to get up, to figure it out, to be smarter, to be stronger, and keep moving forward. Even amoebas do this. Even single-cell organisms keep going. They keep on going. And whatever they can learn along the way, they try. It's what I said to Kim. Plants. Plants are much more sentient than we give them credit for. They're trying their damnedest. And they are the product of a lot more evolution than we are. They have been around a lot longer. They're trying their best. They're being sent out there by Mother Nature. Some of them make it. Some of them don't. And that's the way it works. So I would say that if I could go back and eliminate something with an elixir, one thing I would do is I would eliminate my tentativeness. I would drink something that would make me bold and brave and brazen and make me go out there and go, 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 as Katharine Hepburn says in the Loons, whatever that wonderful movie is, on Golden Pond. We're going to go, go, go. And that's what I would love to do. That's the elixir I'd like to do.
Mommy?
What else do we have?
Yes, Mommy.
Yeah, I'm here.
Can I give you my idea for the best elixir?
Absolutely.
Well, you know, that's what I do.
I know. Harry,
in Harry Potter, there was this wonderful elixir the professor put up in, I believe it was the Secondhand Prince or whatever, Felix Felicitas. It was a elixir of good luck. I myself would do a Felix Benevolente, and that's an elixir of kindness, because I think if we all hold kindness just once a day.
Right.
Yes,
yes.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't be a thimbleful like his lucky elixir. The whole thing about the lucky elixir was it was in this tiny, tiny, fragile little glass thing. It was like, oh my God, just to unstopper, it means you might break the vial. And you know, it was a drop of luck that would pass quickly. You'd have luck for just a little short time, and then it would be gone. No, it would be wonderful to have an elixir like that. Gwendolyn, you get to work on that immediately and notify the patent office once you find it.
That would be lovely. That's luck, though. Such is luck. It's a drop that comes and quickly evaporates, and then you go on. But the good thing about a drop of luck is there's many of them, and they fall again.
Yes. And, of course, luck at the right moment, which, of course, is where timing is everything, that phrase comes from. A drop of luck, a droplet of luck at the right place at the right time is it's life-changing. You know, it's funny. When I was young, I used to want to be famous. I didn't care about being rich. I wanted to be beautiful more than anything. But, of course, I got that, and that worked out perfectly. But I wanted to be famous. And I didn't care about being rich and famous. I just wanted to be famous. I wanted to be a great actress and director, and I wanted fame and fame and fame. And you know, the one thing I never cared about, I never cared about being in love. Now, this is a terrible thing to admit, but Mummy is on the air, and I'm supposed to tell the truth about myself. So it's not a very attractive truth, but this is the truth. I never ached to be in love. I didn't think about my wedding day or wedding gowns and wedding cakes or anything like that. I didn't ache. I was good company for myself. I was kind of a loner, and I was good on a rainy Saturday at the Art Museum. I was good on a snowy afternoon by myself in Central Park. I'm okay by myself. I find things to amuse and delight me by myself. I'm a good reader. I'm a good music listener. I'm a good people watcher. I don't need to be surrounded by people and bombarded friends and everything or love or anything like that. I'm kind of a soul person, like Aquarians often are, and like year people born in the Year of the Dragon. They're kind of loners. They're public, but they're not attached. Well, I must tell you something apropos of luck, Gwendolyn. The one thing, and I don't know why this is, and it humbles me, by the way. I'm not bragging. It humbles me. The one thing that I've been lucky in, I haven't been lucky in very many things at all. I have almost no luck whatsoever. Anything I've achieved through work and you know, beating my brains out. The one thing I've been lucky in is love. The one thing I've been lucky in is love. I have been loved much more than my fair share. And I have been lucky enough to love in return much more than my fair share. I know people who are wonderful people who've never been in love with a special person. And it's not because they don't deserve it. It's just, who knows why? It's something I can't figure out. I know that I have never pursued love. I've never pursued marriage. But I have been loved. And even in relationships that have evolved or run their course, so we say, I've remained loving them. And loved back. They have turned into my family. So I don't know what that is. I don't know how that works, but I have been lucky in love. And I wish that the wonderful people in my life who've never had that would have that, because they are certainly deserving. I do believe there is a lid for every pot. I do believe that there is love everywhere. And I don't know what my secret was. And all I know is I never pursued it. And it came into my life much more than my karmic worth was, you know, validating of it. Who knows? Who knows? Career-wise, I've had no luck whatsoever. So there you go. So you see, I ached for fame and had none, and I didn't ache for love, and that's what happened. And I'm eager to see what the passage is. When I go to the other side, I'm going to ask the authorities there, St. Peter or Mahatma Gandhi or whoever is waiting for me on the other side, Miss Francis of Ding Dong School, Dwight Eisenhower, Bess Truman, who's ever over there. I'm going to say, now, wait a minute. I want to understand something. I won 4 or 5 Oscars, and what I got was 4 or 5 husbands, all of whom I love to this day. So now, how'd that work out? What were you going to say, Gwendolyn? I'm sorry.
I was going to tell you that, and I know these things, the goddess has blessed you.
Ah. Well.
Quite really, the goddess blessed you. She's wrapped her wings around you.
Well, thank you. Now, you're going to make me tear up, and that's not appropriate for Blog Talk Radio. You remember in our contract, we weren't allowed to use obscenities, and we weren't allowed to get sentimental on the air, because then they would have to fine us, and that would not be nice.
And
so
they have 2 minutes left.
What is it, honey? I'm losing you. What is it?
And you only have 2 minutes left.
Oh, well, there we go. Okay, you know what I'd like to do? I'd like to re-acknowledge our wonderful sponsor, DaughtersOfIsis.com. The fragrant memories of our ancestors do go to their website. I would like to thank Gwendolyn, my producer, and my 2 fellow, my Here Be Monsters company stars, Wayne and Jack. Wayne and Jack, how are you? Wayne, I love your hourly notices to me. Mummy tries to read them all. I read them later. I can't always get back to you on them. I would love to say, again, congratulations to Mary Jane Nielsen. Do be sure to send in to share Mummy's post on Facebook, and every time you do, your name will go into the raffle drawing, and that will be on June 30th. And I want to say, my hellos tonight. Like Francis of Ding Dong School. Hello, Brendan. Speed Darlington. Mary Jane, of course, Stephen Dale, hi George, Richard Skipper, and Russ Woolley, how are you guys? Hey, Aner, how are you? Dan and Richard, lovely to see you, Maya. There's Cheryl. Catherine Clark, how are you doing? Matt Decker, you handsome devil. Darling, I love that you're a carpenter, and I love that you work in the nude, but do be careful around power drills. John, Juan, lovely to see you. Eileen, Stephen. Cliff Williams from school, lovely to see you. Cliff Boone and Maury Breyer, how are you? Jesse Galvez of J. Antonio. So many people to say. Oh, there's most, I wanted to say hi to Judy and Vance. Judy Katz, how are you tonight? Peggy, Casey, Mr. Thornton, how are you doing? Truly, I hope you're feeling better. Tallulah, darling, lovely to see you. Gethel Tefish, I adore you, darling. I want to say a special hello to Monsieur Rishi and, of course, my own Mr. Payamas. Mr. Payamas, I will see you all next week here with Gwendolyn, my pal, and we will see you Mondays, 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Thank you, Jerry Withicke, for scolding Mummy. Thank you, Blog Talk Radio. Thank you, Here Be Monsters. Darlings, let's all remember to be present, mindful, and grateful. Present to the beauty of life, mindful in it, be in the world and of the world, and always, always to say thank you. Everything you're seeing and hearing, everything you're touching and smelling and tasting is only borrowed. I love you, darlings. See you next week. Good night.